ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Continuing by the mercy of Lord Sri Krishna, as received through all the acharyas, received through Srila Prabhupada, continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. It often happens when I'm going through these names that after I speak on a name, some other thoughts, realizations come. So the last two names, or just in the recent series of names, have come up, Kami and Kanta. So I want to speak a little bit more about them before going on to the next name. So about Kami, he who has karma, desire, just this thought, that when we engage in karma, when we try to present ourselves or to ourselves be kami, when we try to be the center of that, we are the ones whose desires are to be fulfilled, that's the cause of all our problems, of all our suffering, when we try to personally enjoy. But when he engages in karma, his desire, because he is kami by constitution, he is the one whose desires are to be fulfilled. So when he engages in karma, it is auspicious for the whole world. People criticize Krishna that he is dancing with young girls, but that would be very inauspicious for anyone else to do. For anyone who's not in that position, to do that is very sinful. But for him to do that, that is most auspicious. That makes the whole earth, the earth, who's also the Shakti, one of the wives of the Lord, she feels her existence to be fully successful when Krishna, the feet of Krishna and the gopis are dancing on her surface. So our position is not to try to ourselves indulge in calm, but to get in line with his karma, to do what he wants, to do what he wants us to do. Then if our desires are centered or fully focused on doing what he wants to do, what he wants us to do, then that is the perfection of our karma. We are subordinate kami, to be in line with his calm, with his desire. So that's one point. Then Baladev Vidyabhushan puts together the two names, Kami and Kanta, and he treats them as one name, Kami Kanta. And actually, in Shastra, we find that these two names, they come together. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, we have prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, prayed to as such, Kanta Kamaya Namaste, offered obeisances to Kantaya, unto he who Srila Prabhupada, here glosses Kanta as the Supreme Husband or the Master of all living entities, and Kamaya, who supplies all necessities for the devotees. So in this way he is Kamada. So that's from Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 18. And in the prayers of the gopis, the Gopi Gita. They're describing Krishna as Kanta Kamadam. These two come to the Kanta and Kamadam. So the lover who gives all desire or fulfills the desires of the gopis. And the desires of the gopis are only to satisfy Krishna and nothing else. In the commentary on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam by one contemporary, Madhva Sampradaya, Vaishnava, Aralo Malige Patasarati, is very nice description. He describes Kanta as being, he is of indescribable charm. He is of immense beauty. He is magnificently handsome. His incarnations are fascinating. His unimaginable beauty has so much attraction that all his devotees are always thinking of him. So it's a very beautiful meditation which has appeared in the mind, in the heart of Aralo Malige Patasarati, and he's very kindly placed that in his writings so that others can also share in this meditation on this supremely charming, beautiful Lord Vishnu, who we, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we meditate upon particularly as Krishna. So the next name, 661, is Kritagama. Kritagama. This there are six meanings given here in the commentary that I'm seeing. It's given by Narasingham Krishnamachari. So Krita means he's done something. Agama means has come. Or Agama also means Shastra. So in this way, taking these basic meanings, the name can be understood in various ways. So Krita, Agama, who makes the mantras, or makes the mantras, yeah, make the Agama refers to the Shastra. Now, in one sense, no one makes the mantras because they're eternal. The Vedas are aparusheya, which means not invented by anyone, not coming from any human intelligence. The Vedas eternally exist along with Narayan, who eternally exists. But at the same time, the Vedas manifest through Narayana to us here in this world. And they manifest through other persons also by the grace of Narayana. And one who is a Sadguru, a guru who properly represents the Vedic knowledge, he is considered non-different from Narayana, because that is the that is how we who in this world of ignorance, we first come in contact with Narayana through the Vedic knowledge. So that's revealed by him through the personage of the guru. But Sri Parashara Bhatta explains particularly, he's given the meaning, the revealer of the sacred mantras to the pure-minded, because the Vedas, they're eternal, but they are revealed to various persons. The mantras of the Vedas are revealed to various persons within this world. Persons of very pure consciousness can receive that. And the Vedic knowledge can be spoken to anyone, anywhere, But not everyone is qualified to receive that. If they may receive it and they'll misinterpret it and mess it up. That's why traditionally the Vedic sounds, the mantras, they're not to be revealed to Shudras, because Shudras are of low consciousness and they will misunderstand and misinterpret the Vedic sounds. So the mantras are revealed through various rishis. The original connotation of the word rishi is a mantra drashta, one who receives the mantra, who sees the mantra, who becomes the conduit through which that mantra is revealed in the world. So Sri Parashara Bhatta, he explains that he is the mantra. The Veda is non-different from him. And he reveals himself to the mantra drashta in the form of the mantra. It is Narayana who is revealing himself to the rishi in the form of the mantra. He reveals it to suitable persons. A similar meaning is given by another commentator, Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, because he propounded the agama, the Pancharatra agama. Now the Pancharatras were the Pancharatra agama were given directly by Bhagawan, and therefore they're in the same category, have the same authority as the Vedas. So it's similar. So if we say that the Vedic mantras are revealed by Narayana, so also the Pancharatra mantras, or so it has a similar meaning. Shankara, he gives the meaning of agama not only in the sense of shruti, or that which is heard, the mantra drashta, they hear the mantra, they see the mantra, they experience the mantra, but the smriti shastra is that which is later revealed by persons who have heard the Vedas, and then the smriti becomes manifested within their heart, and the smriti follows the shruti, but that is also revealed by Narayana. The smriti is also Vedic authority. It's sometimes not considered directly the Vedas, but it is also revealed by Bhagavan. And in that case, then the smriti and the Vedas, the Vedangas, all the corollary literatures, even in some places it said even the commentaries, the bona fide commentaries, not the kind of commentaries that are done by Western or Western trained Indologists, but by persons who are leading a pure life with the aim of serving the Vedas, understanding the Vedas. To such persons, the purport of the Vedas is revealed, and then they can reveal that to others. And it's unlimited and unending, because Krishna is unlimited and unending. So to such persons, yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata gurau tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Persons who have full bhakti, full faith in the Supreme Lord and the Guru, to such persons all the imports of the Shastras are revealed. So it's unlimited. The Srimad Bhagavatam is there. It was first revealed in, when we say first, we're speaking from our perspective in this world, which to us appears to be going from in time from one point to another, but actually The time is a continuum, circular continuum. So when we say that first revealed in four verses by Krishna Hoite Chaturmukha, Hoi Krishna Sevanmukha, and Brahma Hoite Naradera Moti. So it's first revealed in four verses to Brahma. Brahma revealed that further and expanded that to Narad, Narada to Vyas, who expanded the whole purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the commentaries, the various commentaries are there by various acharyas who are inspired within the heart by Narayana, by Krishna, and their commentaries are as good as the Vedas. Or we could say for us who are here in this material world, even the commentaries, they are as important or maybe more important even than the original text. Just like we have the Bhaktivedanta purports, this spiritual sound, spiritual thought, spiritual realization and understanding revealed through the Shastra in the heart of Srila Prabhupada and then committed to writing. But that is not some ordinary book of some speculations, but that is directly given by, that is revealed by Krishna. And we couldn't understand, we wouldn't have a clue. First of all, we wouldn't have heard of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we couldn't have understood what its importance is, or what is its message, what does it teach, without the commentary given by Srila Prabhupada. And then he would personally explain that also to individual disciples, so that we get the message, so that that is given by Krishna. It's not that the Kritagama, the giving of the Shastra, it's Krishna revealed that within the heart of Brahma, and then we find he spoke to the four Kumaras and Brahma as the Hamsa avatar. When he came as Krishna, he is Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he spoke to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita, he spoke again to Arjuna, Anugita, and he instructed various persons. He instructed, for instance, Muchukunda, he instructed Akrura. This is all recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that happened in time, 5,000 years ago from our perspective, but it's going on, it's still being revealed. Every time someone who speaks on Krishna with a pure heart, who does so in a spirit of service, then Krishna within their heart inspires them to speak the truth of Krishna consciousness. So that's going on being revealed. When Srila Prabhupada teaches us, or anyone following Srila Prabhupada, or anyone in any bona fide sampradaya, teaches that we are not the body. That's the instruction of Krishna. That's Shastra. He's speaking Shastra. A pure devotee of Krishna, he only speaks Shastra. What he speaks is as good as Shastra. It is Shastra. It's Krishna speaking through him. So Krishna, his Kritagama, his revealing the Shastra, it's going on. It doesn't stop. It's not frozen in time. The message is the same, eternally, but it's presented in different times and places and circumstances, at different levels, in different languages. It doesn't have to be only in Sanskrit. And the realization also of all that, that is given by Krishna. So in this way, Krishna continues to give the Shastra, the knowledge, he continues to do so. Particularly when he speaks Bhagavad Gita, particularly when he reveals the Vedas to Brahma. But it's an ongoing process. Another understanding, Krita also means Krita Yuga. We have the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwarapa and Kali. Satya Yuga is sometimes called Krita Yuga. So Krita Agama, one who causes the Krita Yuga to come. One who causes that means that in a cycle, there's the Krita Yuga, then Treta Yuga, Dwarapa Yuga, Kali Yuga, and then again, reset. Kali Yuga just gets so bad that there's nothing to do. There's no preaching at the end of Kali Yuga. There's no reforming. You could say even there's no compassion. There's no forgiveness. Then people become so degraded, the only thing to do is just Kalki comes riding on a white horse and dispatches them all to their suitable destination, and then again resets, and then the few rishis are there, and then they repopulate the world, and Satya Yuga comes in, or Krita Yuga. So one who causes the Krita Yuga to come, that means there's a destruction, and then again restart. It goes on and on and on like this. Now our own Baladev Vidyabhushana gives the meaning, continuing with the pastime of killing Keshi, that after killing Keshi, he returned to the village of Vrindavan, accompanied by his friends. So Krita, he did it. He killed Keshi, Krita, and then Agama. He came to the village. So it could be in many leelas. He did something and then he went somewhere else. But particularly Baladev Vidyabhushana has related this to the killing of Keshi. That also Krita, that could, yeah. All right, I won't go into that. Then another meaning, this one is given by Satyadevo Vashishta, who always gives a meaning of the names which is not the obvious or direct or conventional meaning, or not the meaning given by not the immediate or obvious meaning which are given by the other acharyas. He always looks at it from a different angle and gives another meaning. So he says that according to the way that the devotees pray to him, he appears to them. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam to that effect, which I didn't collect. So it's yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajame aham. Krishna responds if in the manner that we pray to him. Of course, the manner that we pray to him, that has to be in line with the descriptions of him given in Shastra. We might imagine that some fakir in Maharashtra is Bhagavan, who died, and he's Bhagavan, this Sai Baba. But you can pray to Sai Baba as much as you like, you won't get the actual Bhagavan. That is improper to think like that. So we should know how to pray to him according to the descriptions given in Shastra. But he has many forms, and we can pray to him in those various ways. We can even pray to demigods who are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that is, what is that? Yo-yo yang yang tanam bhakta shatayachita michati tasyachalam shatha tameva vidhatamyaham. That's not the verse I'm looking for. That means Krishna says, whatever demigods you may worship, I give thee unmoving faith to worship demigods. What's that other verse? Avidhi Purvakam. Yajanti Avidhi Purvakam. How does that verse begin? Anyone? Alive? Half alive? Yepi Anya Devata Bhakta Yajante Shatayamvita Tepi Mameva Kontaya Yajanti Avidhi Purvakam. Krishna says, people who worship different gods, not me, it's actually meant for me, it should be for me, but they're not really going in the right way. So it's kind of okay, it's better than nothing, you could say. But it's not really right to the point. The real point is to surrender to Krishna. So then he appears in various forms, and various devotees are attracted to various forms. And even within those forms, people are attracted to him in different ways, especially Krishna. Some people are attracted to him in Vraja Leela, some people are attracted to him in Dwaraka Leela or Mathura Leela. And then Krishna, some people, they like to worship him taking the role of a menial servant. Some like to see him as a little boy. Some like to see him as the supreme friend. Some take him as the supreme lover. So it's not stereotyped. Love for Krishna may take various forms. So in the way that we pray, in that way he is prepared to reciprocate. Hare Krishna. So I'll finish there today. Kritagama. Parivadita jano yata tata ba nanu mukharo navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Dante nidhaya chunakam padayo nipatya kritva chakakushata metadaham bravimi. He sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragam. Ancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyavacha paditana pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah.